You are listening to Feminist Current. I'm Megan Murphy. I started this podcast over a decade ago, in 2012. At the time, few were talking about the things I wanted to talk about. Feminists who were critical of third-wave feminism, of the sex industry, of attempts to frame things like objectification and pornography as empowering, who wanted to focus on women's material realities, who were concerned about encroaching gender identity ideology and legislation, and who wanted to protect women's spaces, had not only been pushed out of mainstream media and conversation, but out of the modern feminist movement and the left. I wanted to provide a space for these conversations, a space for women who felt silenced or who didn't have access to legacy media or online platforms to share their work, their activism, their views, and their realities. So I did. For over a decade, Feminist Current has been a lone voice of dissent in Canada. I have since expanded my work to additional platforms, but Feminist Current remains a pivotal platform for and archive of women's work, movements, and dissenting voices. And we want to continue. But we really need your help. Feminist Current has been ad-free, government grant-free, investor-free, wealthy benefactor-free, and fully independent for years. We rely solely on individual donors, so people like you, to sustain our work. Please consider signing up for a monthly or one-time donation by going to feministcurrent.com and clicking the Donate tab, or by subscribing on Substack, which is at www.meganmurphy.ca. This means the world and truly is the only thing that can keep us going. Thank you so much for supporting our work and women's speech. The trans widow is a phenomenon that can probably best tell the truth about the transgender phenomenon. Yet, she is rarely platformed. She reveals the truth of the narcissism, abuse, and fetishism behind the men celebrated as brave for coming out as so-called trans women. On today's show, I am speaking with a woman whose name is being kept anonymous for safety reasons. Her story is harrowing, but important to hear. And far from a one-off. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
So I don't know very much about you. I would love it if you could tell me a little bit about yourself. What was your childhood like? Where did you grow up?
I grew up on a farm. Brothers, sisters, mom and dad, the normal child life. I was a middle child. So me and my other brother that was another middle child, we get along actually quite well. Normal childhood.
And you're Canadian, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about your partner, your now ex-partner. Tell me about how you met and how your relationship began.
Well, we met at a bar. My friend met him, I guess, the night before. And he was, when he came to the bar, another guy was hitting on me, and I pretended he was my boyfriend, and they almost got in a fight. He was a real man, had no problem to fight. What attracted me to him the most, he worked construction, so, the hard hat, work boots. Mm-hmm. And then we were actually friends. Well, we dated for a bit, kind of split up. And then we were just really good friends for over a year. And then when I started dating somebody else, he got jealous and wanted to go out with me again, and that was it.
Was he ever interested in, let's say, femininity in as far as, I suppose, anything, clothing, I don't know, makeup in the bedroom? Was that ever something that came up for you too?
Yeah, I mean, but I always thought it was a fetish thing, right? I guess love is blind. It's so true, I guess.
What was the fetish?
Well, he liked the latex stuff. He always wanted me to dress up in latex with the high heel boots and stuff like that. Mm. And I mean, at the beginning, it's fine. But then after, once you're married and have kids, if that's the only time he wants sex, it's hard, right? Mm. And then I remember he wanted to get boots for himself. And maybe that should have been an eye opener. Mm. But I really thought it was a fetish.
Right. And I mean, that kind of stuff nowadays is totally normalized. You know, like at one point in the past, that would have been perceived as weird, you know, and obviously as some kind of abnormal fetish. But I think nowadays, you know, at least for the past few decades, this thing's been pushed where, like, anything goes and we shouldn't shame people for their sexualities, in quotations, or their sexual interests. And, you know, people like Dan Savage, of course, offered the good giving and game advice, which was that, you know, if you're in a partnership or a marriage and your partner wants to try something, you should be willing to try, unless it's, you know, very seriously harmful. And he's a gay man, so maybe that works better in that context. But I think when we're talking about heterosexual relationships and men and women, women do need to be more careful about their boundaries. But in any case, I digress. I mean, where did you think that came from? First of all, so he was asking you to wear latex outfits and these fetish gear. What did you feel about that? What did you think about that when he asked you?
Oh, I just, you know, wanted to please him. You know, I've always been a pleaser, and sometimes, you know, I think now I have to. I mean, I haven't dated for 5 years, so. But I mean, I think what I should just do is just make sure it's for me now. I mean, not trying to please somebody else all the time. I mean, that's can be actually dangerous, I think, because then I think they take advantage of that.
Sure.
Because it was always him and his needs. It was never mine. Mm. And so, like they say, love is blind. And I was totally, I don't know, I'm going to say stupid.
Where do you think he got those ideas from?
I don't know. Maybe he had them because I remember finding some she-male DVDs.
And at what point in your relationship was that?
That was at the beginning, right? But he just said he just liked, somebody gave it to him and he wanted to watch it just to see how it was.
Right.
I mean, and you tend to believe these things, right? All the signs were there. I just didn't see them.
Well, you didn't know. And again, I mean, women nowadays are told that they should be totally accepting of anything and everything that their partner does and wants to do sexually. That's the reality. I mean, I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm at the very tail end of Generation X. And even for my friends, I can't imagine. Well, I can't imagine the situation for millennials and Gen Zs now that they've grown up on the internet fully within porn culture. But, you know, my friends think of anything pornography as completely normalized, and that, you know, it's just a fantasy and that they really can't have a say and shouldn't even have an opinion on it. So fair enough, right? But it sounds like he was interested in transsexual pornography before you two even met.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And at what point did he bring up, you know, putting on his own boots, or was it women's clothes, or what was it?
That was at the beginning. And I mean, he only wore it a couple of times, and he wanted to wear makeup once just to see how he was. And then I, of course, because he wanted to please your partner, I remember buying a wig for myself just to, you know, change it up, right? And he, you know, all of a sudden he wanted to wear the wig. So like I said, all the signs were there. I was just thought it was just a sexual thing, not a thing that he wanted to do.
And so where did that progress to?
Well, and then it didn't really progress that much. After that, we moved provinces. Then I got pregnant and we had a child. And then we got married a couple of years after that. So basically, it was just a normal husband and wife, basically, even before we got married, you know, because we had our child. I would wake up, I would make his lunch for him. When he came home, I couldn't work in that province for some reason. So I stayed home. I gave up my careers. And then, you know, I was the housewife, right? So we had the normal life. Then we moved back to our home province. And then things got a little bit more weirder. My mom got ill, so I had to go out of the country. And then when we got back, I just had this really bad feeling. So I never slept with him again after that. And technically, it should have been a problem because, you know, you don't sleep with your spouse for 5 years, like sexually or even in the same bed, but he never pressured it.
So you went to take care of your mom and then, or
when I came back, I had this bad feeling that he cheated on me.
Oh, you had a bad feeling that he cheated. Why did you have that feeling? Was it just out of nowhere?
I just, you know how sometimes you just know, right? And then I know I was wrong, but I went on his phone when he wasn't around, and I started, you know, we put the emails in, right? You can first think up, and all of a sudden these Craigslist things started coming up. So I'm like, you know, so obviously, and it was for partners. So I confronted him on it, and he said that was a lie and he never did that and ever, but I think he knew that I knew, and that's maybe why I thought maybe he didn't pursue it. He was an alcoholic and a gambler before we met. But he quit. And then, of course, when we moved back to my home province, the drinking started again. And I think it's amazing, but it's hard to put my finger on it, but he has an addiction. So now I almost think this is his new addiction.
So you found these Craigslist, these emails from Craigslist, and he was looking for sexual partners, or was it prostitution, or what were the ads that he was responding to? Sorry?
Sexual partners.
Sexual partners. Men or women?
Well, I thought there were men. So then I was thinking, well, maybe he's gay. But now when I talk to him, he's not interested in men at all. He's only interested in women.
Huh. But the Craigslist ads were men, or?
Well, yeah, men. Hmm. There were for the she-males.
Hmm. Interesting. So
it was just weird, right? And of course, after that, I could not, I don't know, sleep in the same bed. I just had that really horrible feeling. Mm-hmm.
Did you try to talk to him about it at all?
Yeah, he denied everything.
Right. Did his porn use bother you? I mean, how much of that, like, how much was he watching porn, or how often was he watching porn?
Well, he never ever mentioned it to me, right? He saw the one video, but I think he was doing it almost because I wasn't spending the nights in bed with him anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think he was doing it on a daily basis, actually.
Right. And what happened from there?
From there, of course, you know, I wasn't sleeping in the same bed. He started drinking more. He started getting angry. It was very almost impossible to even have a relationship, like even a talking relationship. He would drink almost every second night, definitely on the weekends, to the point where he would pass out. He would go to the bar, spend all our mortgage for the next day, and then I would have to take money out of the line of credit. He financially ruined me because everything was under my name. It was just a horrible situation. And then one night he got so drunk, he was threatening me. I said, "You need rehab. I'm going to call your dad." And he said, if I called his dad, he would take my phone, smash it over my head, and break my skull. Mm. And he says, the only way you're going to get out of the situation if you call the police. So I thought, okay, I called the police, and the police came. He was so calm, though. He opened up a beer and sat on the couch and waited for the police to come. And then, of course, when the police came, he tried to stare me down, and the police blocked him off, saying, "Don't look at her." Mm-hmm. And the police came to me, and they said, "You know what? He may have never left. He's threatened me lots of times. He'd end my life." But the police, and this is, I didn't even tell the police this. And then they looked at me, and they said, "He might have not laid a hand on you yet." He says, "But how angry he is, or how he's looking at you, I know for a fact that the first time he ever lays hand on you, that'll be it. Mm-hmm. You will be dead." Mm-hmm. So, and the cops really advised me to leave. They kept him for 12 hours so I could pack up my stuff and leave, but they couldn't kick him out of the house because it was he said, she said. So I ended up being going to my brother's, driving my daughter to school every day in minus 40 to 50 weather. We had a really bad winter that year. And he had no problems of staying in the house and leaving me pretty well, I guess. I mean, I wasn't homeless because I was staying at my brother's, but still, mm-hmm. it wasn't our home. Yeah. And then a few months after that, he got really drunk one night and phoned me up and said he wanted to become a woman.
So,
and of course, he's a narcissist, right? On top of that. Uh-huh. So of course, I had to play on that narcissist thing. And I said to him, I go, "Oh, you must be a really pretty woman. Send me some pictures." So he was sending me pictures.
Oh, my Lord. What did they look
like? And then I'm looking at the pictures and he's wearing some of my clothes. That could kind of tick me off. But
these guys.
And he goes, goes, your jeans look better on me than they do on you. I'm like, thanks. But I'm also 10 years older than he was. So I'm not a young person. I'm in my 50s. So.
Okay, so you left him. He was abusive. You left. And 3 months after you left, he just randomly phones you up and says, I want to become a woman.
Yeah, but he hid it from everybody. And then he would get mad at me if I told anybody. So, I mean, he's lucky because most women would have just spread it all over and would have told his parents. And he never told us. He just recently told his parents. I mean,
and so
he's living as a woman now.
So how long ago was that he told you he wanted to become a woman?
About 4 years ago.
And at that point, what did he do? You know, did he begin to transition or wear women's clothes out? Or what was that? What did that mean for him, becoming a woman?
He would go to the bar just as a woman. And then what else he would do? Oh, he would send me pictures of him in his nightgowns lying on the couch. Well, my daughter and I had to stay in a one room place because after my brothers, I moved to a one room place because it was in town and that's all I could afford. And, well, he had a, you know, 4-bedroom, 3-story house to himself. So he'd be, you know, taking pictures of his toenails because they're all nice and colorful. And then my daughter and I are struggling, getting, you know, nowhere. He's over $60,000 behind on child support and alimony at the moment. And the first year he was able to claim me and our child for taxes, and he got like over a $10,000 refund instead of, you know, saying, here's some money, you know, get a bigger place or, you know, have something to eat, more food or whatever, instead of us going to the food banks. He told me exactly how he was spending it. He bought shoes galore. Like, he has probably more shoes than you and I and 3 other women put together. Bought clothes like you wouldn't believe. He bought some wigs. And then he went and got his full body wax. And he's like telling me he got his butt cheeks waxed, like inside and his balls and everything. And I'm like, okay. It's like, so you can spend money like this, but your daughter and I are like struggling.
And what's happened with his other relationships? I mean, does he have friends? Does he have relationships with his family?
Well, he finally came out to his family and he told me his mom and dad's not talking to him. But then he phones me, like he has a 1 week call with our daughter. And he's calling from his parents' house. And then a couple of weeks later, I go, well, obviously your parents are talking to you. He goes, how do you know? I go, well, you're at your mom and dad's. And he goes, well, how do you know that? I go, well, you called me from there. Like, I know the place, what it looks like.
And did when he came out, you say, to his parents, what did he come out as?
As a woman. You know, he said that. And he started going to work as a woman. Of course, he lost his construction job. No wonder.
He started going to his construction job dressed as a woman.
Yeah, because he was in the office now. But,
wow.
I mean, of course, 6 months later, his position was no longer, like, go figure, right? So he lost his $100-something thousand job.
just so he could dress as a woman.
Yeah. So and then he would say, oh, I'm more attractive than all the women in the office. I'm like, oh. And he's very conceited, right? It's like,
I mean, I sort of get the impression they're all like that. I mean, the amount of times I've heard that from these guys who dress up as women who have, you know, what's called autogonophilia, which is that fetish you were talking about, and heard from other women. You know, I've talked to other women whose partners have declared themselves women also through kind of a similar process around, as you know, what you're explaining. And they all seem to think like that. They think, you know, they're seeing something that's not real when they look in the mirror, and they genuinely think they are looking like these hot, sexy women, and think they're more attractive than so-called real women. It's very strange.
Oh, I just, you know, and it just kind of ticks me off, because, you know, he has no clue what it is like to have period or having a giving birth. He called me up on a Mother's Day once, and he goes, Happy Mother's Day. I go, thank you. And this was a couple of years ago. He goes, aren't you going to wish me the same thing?
Oh my God.
I said, no. He goes, why not? I said, well, she did. I'm sorry, I'm being a little bit rude, right? But I said to him, I said, because she didn't come out of your vagina. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, I'd want to be called a father. I said, oh, well, then I'll just call you sperm donor.
Ridiculous.
Well, it's just, yeah, it's ridiculous. And then just the other things. And then one time he's talking with our daughter, and he's about to show her his boobs.
What?
I grabbed the phone.
When did this? So he was talking to her in person?
No, he doesn't have visitation, right? It's just one phone call a week, video chat. That's it.
Okay.
And
what happened?
He tried to lift up his shirt to show her his boobs. And I grabbed the phone. I said, that is very inappropriate. And he goes, well, she's got to learn about transgenders. And I said, no, she does not. She just accepts everybody for who they are. She doesn't know different colors of skin. She doesn't know different sexes of skin. Our daughter has a disability, right? So I said, just leave her love people for who they are. It was just ridiculous.
How old is your daughter?
She's 12.
And what was he like as a father?
I didn't spend much time with her. Yes, I was very overprotective of her, but I've had reasons why. Put it this way, because of my age, I wouldn't do any testing. And he said if she was born with any disabilities, he would drown her in the tub. So I didn't let him watch her that much because I was afraid of that. Yeah, I am extremely overprotective of our daughter. So
before she was born, he threatened to drown her if she was born with disabilities, and she was born with disabilities. Is that right?
Yes.
And what happened when he found out?
In the hospital, he freaked right out, like, majorly. And the hospital was, I even had one of the doctors come and talk to me about it. And I said, no, I said, I'll be fine. The only thing that worries me, and it'll always worry me until the day I die, is who's going to take care of our daughter when I die? She's going to need care, right? Like, somebody to at least look on her to make sure she's not being taken advantage of, because she's very sweet and loving child. And but I do have older children, so I'm hoping one of them will step up and watch. They're not my it wasn't my, they're from our first marriage, my sons. Mm-hmm. So but it's funny because they told me, when I told them what was happening, they go, "We knew there was something wrong with them right from the start, Mom." I'm like, "Thanks, you guys."
Right. And I mean, it sounds like he was abusive to you. Was he also abusive to your daughter?
No. He really didn't have too much to do with her. He pretended he was the best dad in the world. And he doesn't want to be called dad anymore. But I told him, I said, "You know, there's no way you can convince her to call you Mom. There's absolutely none." I said, "You're lucky she calls you Dad still." And I said to him, I said, "Even with some things, she knows what the proper name of it is, but she has her own word for that. And she doesn't, she's pretty stubborn, so she won't give in. And he'll always be Dad to her." Mm-hmm. And I think it's wrong for them to try to change the kids, because that's what, how they know them. And same thing when we were getting divorced, I said to my lawyer, I said, like, "How is this even legal?" I said, "I married a man. A man's on the, he didn't change his name yet when we got the divorce." I said, "How is this?" I said, "I'm marrying a man. I married a man, but I'm divorcing a woman. Like, how does that make sense?" Mm-hmm. And she thought about it. She goes, "You're right. It could have legal complications later." So when we were having the divorce, we didn't need his signature because he said he wouldn't sign the papers. So the judge ruled that I can get the divorce even without his signatures. So when my lawyer was drawing up the papers, where every time there should have been a he or a she just put his name in Dave. So to make it, make sure it was legal later on in life, because you never know what he's going to do. Like, I really think that he is not mentally stable. He was angry the other day and he called my lawyer a cunt. Like, and I just went to him, I go, "Well, that's not very ladylike now, is it?" Yeah, I maybe make fun of the situation sometimes, but sometimes, well, the only way you get.
I mean, it's a crazy situation, and I definitely appreciate having a sense of humor about it. It just, I mean, to me, he just sounds like, he sounds, you know, like, I suppose, an abusive man, a narcissist, as you say, and then on top of that, with a porn addiction, an alcohol addiction, a gambling addiction, and which turned into living his fetish and narcissism out full time.
Yeah, and then it's weird because we were talking the other day, and we're not talking, because I don't want to talk to him. Every time he's talking to our daughter, he wants to talk to me, and I'm like, "No. Well, I need to ask you questions, how school is." I go, "Well," I go, "that's weird." I go, "You never had any interest in that before. So what are you up to?" And I keep on telling him, "Anything you want to know, send it in to me. Send an email to me and I will answer your questions. I do not want to talk to you, period." And my daughter doesn't want to talk to him either. She hides. And then he gets mad at me.
Does she have to talk to him? You know, like, is that part of your divorce settlement or the child custody thing?
I got the sole custody right off the bat. You know how you have to usually go to trial or whatever, and it's very hard to get sole custody now. But I got it right off the bat. And then when we went to court for the money part, we had to go to trial for that. And then when he realized the judge was going to give me some alimony and some child support, he got mad and said, well, she never lets me talk to the child, which was a lie, because every time he video chat, I let him, because unfortunately, I'm a very soft person. So I don't like conflict.
I'm curious, how did you get sole custody so easily? What was that based on?
Well, I had a cycle, like, for the abusive, I was going to see a counselor, and she wrote up everything, what was happening, and she did an analysis of him, and the judge read that, of course. And then, of course, one of the times we were supposed to go to court, he packed up the whole house the day before court, and he moved to provinces. Like, right the day before court. So the judge is like, yeah, you know, somebody leaves their province where the kid and the mother is, and the day before court, obviously he's not interested in anything. Yeah. So he awarded me sole custody. Only thing I have to do is give him 2 weeks notice before I leave the country and where I'm going. And the address, which kind of scares me, because when he did move the province, he didn't know where I was living when we're living in the same province. Then when he moved out, he said he had a Christmas gift for our daughter. He wanted to mail it. So I thought, okay, but something didn't seem right to me. You know how you just get that gut feeling? Mm-hmm. He goes, okay, I just want to write it down. I go, well, why, like, write it down? Like, why don't I just text you? No, I don't want you to text it to me. It was just weird. And instead of a gift coming during the holidays, and of course he did it during the holidays, which is kind of pisses me off, he sent the police at my door saying they wanted a wellness check. Well, if the cop would have thought she was in any danger at all, which I'm thankful he didn't, he could have taken her out and I wouldn't have got her back until after the holidays. And because our child has a disability, she would have been devastated. She would have been traumatic for a long time,
of course,
with this thing. And when I showed the cops all his threatening messages, and I even said on Messenger, I am now blocking you. If you need to talk to me, email me. And I showed the police that. And then the next day he phoned me, and I said, I told the cops, I go, look, you see him phoning me. I said that the call lasted 4 or 5 minutes, but he was threatening me. So I hung up. I said, and then there's my text message saying, email me if there's an emergency. He says, yeah, you've done everything, which is thankfully that I did. And, you know, he laughed. But I just think, you know, the cop even agreed, he told me he's doing this to scare me so I wouldn't go for alimony and for child support.
Mm-hmm. So after you divorced and you were granted sole custody and he moved to another province, he continued to threaten you with what?
He still threatens me. Like, he said that he's going to get his brother to get sole custody of our daughter because he doesn't want to pay me any money. That's the thing. And now he says in January, because he's so far behind, that they're going to be seizing all his assets. You know, I'm thinking, well, you know what? You could care less of if your daughter is eating or she's clothed or what's happening. He doesn't know much about my life, and I keep it that way. But he's lucky that she has food on the table and she is clothed. But I mean, this Christmas, you know, I have to go to Santa's Anonymous again, so she can get some gifts. And it's not fair for her.
No, of course not. None of it's fair. Is he working now?
Yeah, and I don't want to really say the name, but I know he wants to keep this job because I know this job will help him pay for his transitions, which I think is wrong.
So is he planning on getting surgeries at this point, or is he on hormones or anything?
He's been on hormones. The hormones actually was in his affidavit, which was signed by his secretary, witnessed by his secretary, go figure.
What do you mean it was the hormones were in his affidavit?
When we went to court the very last time, so that was about 2.5 years ago, his hormone pills were about $100 a month. So he put that in as
expenses?
Yeah.
Okay. So how long has he been on hormones for?
Well, at least 2 years. I'm not sure how long, but at least 2 years, because it's been 2 years since we've been in court. So, yeah. So he's growing boobs, and then he was mad because he was paying me a little bit of child support. Now they're taking it from his not the full amount, but I'm getting a little bit at least now, but not much.
Are they garnishing his wages?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
But not the full amount, though. Hmm. Don't ask me how he's getting away with that, but... Hmm. And he's pissed off because he goes, because I have to pay you. And this was what he said. I can't get my laser surgery for hair removal.
And what is he up to now? Is he doing any kind of activism around transgenderism, or is he just keeping to himself, or what?
No, he's very active. I've heard from a friend of mine that he's going around to schools.
What?
And talking about that.
He's going into schools?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's wrong. Well,
it's
just
really
hearsay.
Wrong. It's really wrong if that's happening. That's incredibly wrong and dangerous that an abusive, you know, porn addicted, misogynist, dangerous man is going into schools to talk to kids.
Yeah. Well, my friend, she's you know, an activist on the other side, of course. And her husband actually went to school with Dave. And so she knows all, you know, the new name and what he looks like and all that. And she sees him in all these other groups. And she's the one that's telling me, because I had no clue. And that he's in that group to help kids transition. And I'm like, you know what? And I'm a very big, strong activist. I just leave the kids alone. I really leave the kids alone.
So this man is in groups online engaging with children to help them to transition?
Well, he's online saying that he wants to go to these. He's with these groups. Like, he's actually part of these groups to go. I'm not sure if he's actually going to the school, but he is part of the group.
What group is this?
It's in a different language.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't tell you exactly what it's actually called.
Okay, it's a group for what? For kids who are identifying as transgender?
Yeah.
And where's that? On Facebook?
On Facebook, and he's also in other groups as well.
Okay.
Like with government groups doing this stuff.
And what do you mean, government groups?
Well, you know, the government's funded groups that are okay with this, right? But obviously, the straight person does not have many rights anymore. I couldn't email you later what kind of groups he's in.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I'm just trying to understand what's happening here. So he's in government funded groups that are advocating for kids who are identifying as transgender. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and
Wow.
he is, there is a, that group also goes into the schools and states that, explains to them, it's okay and, we'll help you and all this stuff. I don't know if he's actually the one that's speaking, but he is part of the groups. And
And have you
if he
s
does speak, I'm sure my friend will tell me.
yeah and has he been is he active online? Is he doing so-called trans activism online?
Yes, quite a bit. Because my friend, she actually joins those groups pretending, and she actually sees his name pop up with these arguments all the time.
And what kind of stuff is he saying?
You know, that it's hard because it's in a different language, right? So she doesn't really tell me, and I'm not very fluent in that language. But oh, and another thing is that he got to change our daughter's birth certificate without my consent.
How did he manage that?
Because he legally changed his sex and his name, and on his birth certificate. So then he went to her daughter's birth certificate, changed his name and his sex on her birth certificate. So now she has two moms on her birth certificate. He couldn't change her stuff or my stuff, but he could change his. And I think that's really wrong because when she was born, there was a mother. And there was a father. I never consent of having two mothers on her birth certificate.
Is he still working in construction?
No, he's working in a financial institution.
Well, I'm sorry to hear all this. This sounds like a really, really horrible experience all around. I'm wondering what you make of all this. I mean, I don't know what you thought about transgenderism prior and what you think now.
Before I thought, yeah, whatever, it didn't bother it, it didn't affect me, right? And I get that a lot when people find out that my ex turned into a woman. They go, well, I guess to each of their own. And I go, well, you know what? That's what I thought too. I said, until it ruins your life. I mean, he's ruined us financially. Like, I'm in bankruptcy right now because of Dave. We barely make ends meet every month. It's just awful. And the abuse, he doesn't know where we live because I'm afraid that one day he will come here and kill us. And I think he would kill our daughter as well.
Have you thought about outing him online in some way, or telling, journalists about this and getting them to actually, cover this
Well,
story and find out who this guy is?
I'm afraid that he would actually come and kill me or sue me. He would sue me because it's crazy. He is not a sane person.
Is there anything that he's done that the police can arrest him for?
Because it's just all he said, she said. But I really am fearful for my life. Like he keeps on, because he has to pay me so much money, he keeps on saying, you know what? Why don't you move to my province and live together? and or why don't you come and visit me? I go, first of all, it takes money and I don't have any and you don't pay me anything, right? I said, and second of all, no, I don't trust you. And all my friends know that if I was to go visit him, I'd probably end up dead. And it's really sad that I have to live my life that way.
Do you have support? You know, are you connected to the local, is there a local women's transition house or violence against women organization? Or do the cops know that he's a danger to you?
Yeah, they do know, but there's nothing they can do until there's a physical violence, right? I mean, he's never laid a hand on me. It was just all hearsay. And he's never done it in front of anybody. But if you look in his eyes, and they're not normal. They're evil.
I'm so sorry that you've had to endure all of this. And I wish there were more that I could do to support you. So please let me know if there is anything that I can do. And we'll stay in touch, of course, but thank you so much for sharing your story with me. I really appreciate that. I know that it's not easy to do that.
No, I'm trying to, like, everybody's shocked of how happy, and I go, well, you know what? I'm not going to let him wreck my life. I was always the happy, and I was a very confident person beforehand. I was a businesswoman, you know. But now, but when you're put down for years saying you're, you know, ugly and fat and not good looking and stupid, and it's hard, right? I mean, it's really hard to build up your self-esteem again. And my self-confidence is still at nil. But you just got to move on. And I'm happy. I joke around with my friends. And tell you the truth, I've actually lost some of my friends because of this, because they think he should be getting all the support. And they know what he's put me through. And they've known he put me the financial disaster, but they still feel sorry for him because, and I'm there going, why? Like, he's done this to himself.
Unbelievable. It's just, it's enraging. People don't really understand the situation. And I think that's why it's so important that you and women like you speak up, because I think it reveals everything about what's going on here with this transgenderism trend for men. In any case, it's an insane trend, and the fact that it is driven by these kinds of men makes it ever more troubling. Thank you again for taking the time and for reaching out and for sharing this with me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
I'm Megan Murphy. Thanks for tuning in to Feminist Current. You can find us online at feministcurrent.com, tweet at us at feministcurrent, or send us an email at info@feministcurrent.com. We are hosted by Spotify, and you can subscribe to the Feminist Current podcast on all your favorite podcast apps. You can even give us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. Feminist Current is produced and hosted by myself, Megan Murphy. We have been ad-free, sponsorship-free, wealthy investor-free, and fully independent since 2012. If you enjoyed this podcast and value independent women's media by women, for women, no compromises, please consider making a donation to support our work or supporting us directly on Spotify by clicking the support button. Just visit feministcurrent.com and click the donate button, or go to www.meganmurphy.ca to subscribe.